Morning. I know that may be a last minute change for everyone. You may not have your material for Proverbs class, and you know what? I'm gonna put that on me because I should have let somebody know to let y'all know because I only got like two people's email here. So, but still, I mean, we could do Acts chapter 16 if y'all really want to, but it'll be really bad. Nah, but it's okay, y'all. I feel like we've been having good discussion with Proverbs lately, and, you know, I feel like I'm best sticking with that. Darren's best sticking with Acts, so it just makes sense to me. That's the main thing for me, now that I'm in the groove of things and doing the Proverbs class. So, if you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. That's where we left off on Wednesday evening. We'll pick up at verse 27 here in just a second. And before we get started, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, thanking you for a wonderful day of life on this earth. We thank you for this day that we can call your day, and we can gather together and worship you with our songs of praise and study your scriptures together and remember your son Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins. We're thankful for that sacrifice, Lord. We're thankful for what it means for us. We're thankful that we have forgiveness of our sins. We're thankful for the ability to be able to go to heaven someday. We pray that we may live our lives in such a way that is worthy of that. Worthy of that sacrifice. Worthy of the heaven that we want to call home someday. Lord, as we're about to enter our study of Proverbs, we pray that you be with us, that you open our hearts and our minds to the study of wisdom. We pray that you be with us as we go through these words, that we may be edified by them, that we may be encouraged, that we may embrace them in our own lives and live by them and be better servants of you each and every day of our lives. We're thankful for all those who are here this morning. We pray that you be with those who haven't been able to be here with us. We pray that you be with those who are sick and not feeling well, that you bring comfort and healing to them. Return them to us in full health. We pray that you be with those traveling at this time. Be with those traveling for work, that you guide them in safety, give them strength in their travels and their work that they're doing, and bring them back home to us safely. Pray for forgiveness over our sins as we come before you. Lord, we recognize we fall short of your glory. We're tempted daily. We pray that you be with us, that you give us the strength to overcome these temptations, that you give us the heart that we need to recognize we don't want sin in our lives, and help us to purge it from ourselves. Help us to be the men and women that you want us to be in your sight. And we pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we'll be working in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. And we pick up in verse 27 where we left off last evening. In Proverbs chapter 3, we've been talking about all kind of good stuff, and with the focal point of the passage being trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. And that kind of bleeds into everything that we've talked about, trusting him with our possessions, trusting him to discipline us and make disciples out of us, trusting in his wisdom that he used to found the universe. And recognize it is through this same wisdom that we have all kinds of blessings in our day-to-day life. And so we pick up in verse 27. And we read through verse 30. It speaks of how we are to treat our fellow man in a couple of situations. It says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm." So it breaks down a few different things for us here. In verse 27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." What does that sound like to you, brother? Pardon? Don't bother me. That can certainly be a part of it, absolutely. Do it now. What's the opposite of doing it now? Procrastinating. That's the one I was thinking of. What would you say, Carla? Putting it off until tomorrow. Procrastinating. The wise writer, provokes the question, why procrastinate? If you have the power and the means to do so, why not do it? What does this tell us about how we should respond to procrastination? Cheryl said it. What? Don't procrastinate. But you said earlier, do it now. Do it now. I have that written in my own notes, verbatim. Generally speaking, I've heard this before, and it really opened my eyes to the idea of how bad procrastination is. Generally speaking, did you know it takes up as much energy not doing something or avoiding a task as it does actually doing it? Think about it. Some people don't realize that the time that they spend actively avoiding a task, they're being drained. That task is lingering in the back of their mind when they could just do it and be done with it. Did I hear someone make a comment? Me too. Yeah, you're right. It is a power thing. It's a selfish thing too, and it's frustrating too, because if I have something, I'm not using it, somebody else could have better use of it. Why not present that to them or give that of myself to them? Martha and then Johnny. Hit me. What's that other verse that says, if you know what is good and you do not do it, to him it is sin? Procrastination is a tool of the devil. You're absolutely right. And I think another thing you go along with that adds to our list here. Procrastination, selfishness, and then laziness. I'm going to, what is that you said, do nothing all day and then go to bed? There you go. That's laziness to a T right there. That's a whole nother conversation right there. I've seen that too. Yeah. I appreciate that comment. I've seen a few hands. Johnny was first, and then I saw Clint, and then I saw Regina. That's a good point there. See, I've been thinking about this passage in the light of it being voluntary. I voluntarily give of my means to another. I voluntarily give of my time to another. But somebody does a job for you, and you owe that person something. Or if they have a service for you, or something else that requires you to give them of your means monetarily. And this is for that service, you know? How many times can people withhold that? How many times do corporate jobs do that? How many times do restaurant jobs do that? That, very good point there. We need to not be like the world, like the corporate, like those who are out there swindling, essentially, devising evil like this. So, very good point there. Clint was next, I think. Because, you know, I think about the phrase here in the passage, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Who are we to judge to whom it is due? How can I say this person is deserving of it and say this one is not? Above all else, doing good is the bottom line here. Doing good, making sure that we are doing good no matter what everyone else is doing, no matter, you know, what effect it has on me, make sure I'm doing good for one another. I think you were next. Hear that. Tying it back to what Clint said a minute ago, he talked about that parable of the unforgiving servant. The reason Jesus taught that parable was because Peter asked the question, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? Jesus says, no, up to 70 times seven. Not meaning 490 times, which, by the way, who's counting? Who's petty enough to be counting like that? But, you know, forgiveness. That's something good that is due others. God asks us to be forgiving just as God forgave us. And we may find our excuses, we may find our reasoning, but the bottom line is, God forgave you. You need to be ones who are forgiving. Don't worry about what they're doing. If they want to continue down that path, that's on them. You forgive in your own heart. And you can forgive from a distance too. Carla, and then you. Exactly. Yeah. Can I pick the circumstance or the person to that, what you're saying there? If I'm having good in my heart, if my heart's in the right place that I should do good for somebody else, whether that be monetarily, whether that be giving up my time, whether that be, you know, saying kind words to them, whether that be giving them assistance with something. I have to have this heart, this attitude of wanting to do good to them. Again, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Don't say, go and tomorrow I will have it for you. Do it now, like we've been saying. If I have this good in my heart, I'm not gonna let nothing stop me. Just as what Martha said, procrastination is a tool of the devil. It's gonna tear me down from doing good in the immediate moment that it's needed. Absolutely right. You know, everything that we've been saying is all one big piece of this, was one piece of the puzzle each. And this idea of doing good for one another. And I'm glad that you reminded me of Kirk's invitation on Wednesday night, because I did want to talk about that too, because I liked it. It was a very good invitation about that verse that says, even if you do something just as simple as give them a cup of cold water, to each little of these, the least of these. Something simple can change a brother's day. When we think of doing something for one another, we think of it as this grandiose thing that we gotta do. We gotta like impress them. No, give them a cup of cold water. Do something simple for them. Call them. Say, hey, I've been thinking about you today. How are you? Go down the road and see them. Acknowledge them. You know. As a former waiter, I can totally attest to that. I used to wait in the restaurant, and there's like very few times that, you know, I laugh because I remember being flagged down, waiter! But some people, you know, I told them my name, they remembered it. They addressed me by it. That was something special. And you know what else? We're going to go down that route. Let me tell you about a man named Raul. He came into the restaurant one day. He was, I think he's one guy that's just on the road a lot because he had a motorcycle. And I hadn't seen the guy ever since this event. But he came into the restaurant one day. I served his table. And at the end of it, I gave him the bill. And he asked me, is there anything I could pray for you about? And in that moment, I'm like, I'm not thinking about, whenever I'm praying, you know, I'm not thinking about, you know, I'm thinking about myself only when it's like something immediate. There's something going on right now and I need to talk to God about it. But somebody else comes to me and asks me, what can I pray for you? That was something else. Never forgot him. I even remember his name. I'm terrible with names, y'all. Stranger. Never saw him again. I hope he's doing well. I pray to God he's doing well. Maybe I'll get to see him up there again. That'd be amazing. So, I think we can move on with this point. Doing good will change a brother's life. Always remember, there's good you can do for one another, and you should do it. You have a duty to do it. It does make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gives you incentive to do it again and for someone else. You know, to Carla's point earlier about being seen. Man, you ever been in a congregation where you haven't been seen? Where I've been in congregations like that where it's just like so many people all around me and yet I'm the loneliest person in the room. That should not be here, brethren. Let's not let that be here. All right. That was an excellent discussion, y'all. But we'll tie verse 29 to 30 now. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without a cause, if he has done you no harm. Be at peace with those around you. Don't plot evil against them. Don't start fights with them for no reason, but be at peace with them. And why should we want to be at peace with them? Yeah. I think the real question we should ask is, why would any of us want to be on bad terms with our neighbor? It disrupts peace. Yeah. Absolutely right. You cannot be happy while in turmoil like that. You can't be happy while you're always looking at somebody else and picking problems from their lives. Yeah. You know, we're told in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. We're also told in Scripture, in Paul's description in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Back to that point about forgiveness we talked about earlier. Letting go of these reasons I have against somebody else. And you know, to something else you said, there's a proverb we'll discuss much later on. And it says, don't rejoice when your enemy falls. That's not a point of rejoicing. People will rejoice when they see their enemy stumble, when they see them finally hit rock bottom. No, that can't be us, brethren. Instead, we should be finding what good I can do for them rather than looking at their evil or their wrongdoings. Because guess what? They're all just like us. We've all had those issues before. So there should be peace and reliability with our neighbors, according to this passage. And who are our neighbors? Everyone. Everyone. It don't matter who they are. It don't matter what political party they're in. It don't matter what color their skin are. It does not matter. The world wants to make these divisions. The world wants to have these picking and choosing. No. Your neighbor's your neighbor, no matter who they are. Carry on. Deep breath. Yes, absolutely. You know, we're told all throughout Scripture, love one another, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do good for one another, even if it's your enemy. If Old Testament taught this, if your enemy's donkey falls in a hole, go help him. It don't matter, this strife or contention between you. Go help him. Clint. Determine your attitude. Yeah. That's right. 100% right. Pardon? Yeah. I know, it's like you said, it's easier said than done sometimes, you know. We can have this animosity towards those outside of the body of Christ. We can have these worldly attitudes come in and have these separations in our mind. But you determine your attitude, as Clint said. I have to be the one that decides. No, there's no category here. I'm not going to discriminate between race or sex or, you know, whatever the world wants to say is this category. No matter how rich or how poor they are, no matter what life they're living, whether they're a free person or they're living in jail right now, there's good I can be doing. There's good that I can do for them. There's a duty there too, a responsibility to God and to them and to myself to make sure that I am living as an example towards them, that I am teaching them, that I can show them that there is a way out, that there is a way out of all the worldly mess, that there is a way out of sin, that there is a way out of this idea that once we die, that's it. So much good there. Janice. Okay. Anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. If we carry anger in our hearts towards these people, what good are we going to do them? There's not going to be any righteousness produced in me, and I'm not going to produce it in them because of that. I have to let go of this anger, of this evil feelings, of these ideas of doing evil against one another, as the passage is saying. They feel justified because somebody did this thing to me, so I'm going to go and do it to them or to their family. Attitude is everything. Yeah, exactly. So going back to tying back these comments to what Clint said. It comes from within. Who I am, who I choose to be, who I want to be in this life. It all goes back to me. I make the decision for me. I cannot say that, oh, Andre made me do this. No, he didn't. Maybe he's said to do it, and I have that choice to do it or not to do it. Maybe somebody comes along, and like you said, they strike you. You're in that moment. You heat up. You ball your fists. And you're ready to throw it right back at them. That is something that we can justify by saying, yes, they hit me first. What am I going to do in that moment? Am I going to throw that punch? Or am I going to turn the other cheek? Whole other discussion right there. Turning the other cheek, that's a hard thing to do, brother. And it gives this thought that we're not allowed to defend ourselves. Well, what does God say? Judgment is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. It is not my place to strike back. It is my place to find peace with them. I turn the other cheek, not so they can strike me again, but so maybe they recognize their own injustice. That they don't throw another punch, but maybe they stand down. Maybe they got their anger out in that first punch. Good. Now find that peace with them. Lot of good, heavy discussion this morning, y'all. And to think, we weren't prepared for this. We were ready to talk about Acts, weren't we? So much good stuff this morning. I appreciate you all. We got 2 minutes, but we got 5 more verses in the chapter to discuss, so I say we're on a good note. We'll just call it quits here. Have those couple extra minutes. We'll pick up with verse 31 on Wednesday night and then get to the questions, Lord willing. Appreciate everyone's comments this morning. Beautiful discussion. Let's make sure we live by it, because that's the biggest thing, brethren, is making sure that we don't just talk about it, but we live by it. Thank you all again.